بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه اجمعين. مكتبه الموحدين بتعاون مع عده مساجد في المنطقه والولايات المتحده تسرها ان تقدم لكم هذا الدرس الاسبوعي في كتاب صلاه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لسماحه الشيخ عبد العزيز بن عبد الله بن باز رحمه الله تعالى. ثم بشرح الشيخ مدرب محمد القادر العنزي رحمه الله تعالى. Please present this weekly class on the book, The Prophet's Greatest Command. Have mercy on him. To be explained by the Honorable Sheikh Badr ibn Muhammad al Badr al Anzi.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمد عبد رسوله. اما بعد، وقفنا عند قول الشيخ بن باز رحمه الله عليه، قال: ثم يرفع راسه من الركوع. لما ذكر الركوع رحمه الله عليه قال: ثم يرفع راسه من الركوع رافعا يديه الى حدو منكبيه او دنيه. رفع اليدين في الرفع من الركوع متواتر عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، نص على ذلك الحافظ السيوطي في كتابه الأحاديث المتواترة. فكان عليه الصلاة والسلام أثناء الرفع يقول: سمع الله لمن حمده، ويرفع يديه، فإذا استتم قائما قال: ربنا ولك الحمد. إذن يكون سمع الله من حمده أثناء الرفع. فإذا استميت قائما قل: ربنا ولك الحمد. في هذا الموضع بعد الرفع من الركوع تنازع أهل العلم هل يقبض يديه أم لا، على قولين مشهورين. والصحيح: من قبض يديه فلا شيء عليه، ومن لم يقبض فلا شيء عليه، لأن هذا الخلاف فيها خلاف تنوع. قال الشيخ قائلا: سمع الله لمن حمده، إن كان إماما أو منفردا. يعني هذه المقولة سمع الله لمن حمده يقولها الإمام ويقولها المنفرد. قال: ويقول حال قيامه، يعني إذا استتم قائما ربنا ولك الحمد حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، من السماوات ومن الأرض ومن ما بينهما ومن ما شئت من شيء بعد. قال: أما إن كان مأموما، يعني المأموم، فنقول عند الرفع: ربنا ولك الحمد. المأموم لا يقول سمع الله لمن حمده، إنما إذا رفع الإمام يقول المأموم: ربنا ولك الحمد. عرفت كيف؟ قال: إلى آخر ما تقدم. قال: وإن زاد كل واحد منهم، أعني الإمام والمأموم والمنفرد، يعني إذا زاد على قولي ربنا ولك الحمد، قال: فلا حرج في ذلك، لما جاء عنه عليه الصلاة والسلام كان يزيد أهل الثناء والمجد بحق ما قال العبد الحديث. الشاهد قال: ويستحب أن يضع كل منهما يديه على صدره. انظر كيف الشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز رحمة الله عليه يرجح أنك إذا رفعت من الركوع تقبض يديك. عرفت الآن يا إخوان؟ وبعض العلم قال: لا يغضب. فقلنا أن الخلاف خلاف تنوع يسوق فيه الخلاف. قال: ويستحب أن يضع كل منهم يديه، منهم يعني الإمام والمنفرد والمأموم، على صدره كما فعل في قيامه قبل الركوع. يعني لما كبرت في أول الصلاة بعد تكبيرة الإحرام ألم تغضب؟ قالوا: القاعدة الشرعية أن كل قيام تقبض فيه اليدين، وضعوا هذه القاعدة نص عليها الشيخ محمد بن عثيمين رحمة الله عليه في الشرح الممتع. قال الشيخ بن باز كما فعل في قيامه قبل الركوع من ثبوت ما يدل على ذلك عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام من حديث وائل بن حجر وحديث سهل بن سعد رضي الله عنهما. نعم
تفضل شيخ. الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى began by greeting the listeners with the greeting of Islam, saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He then praised Allah, the Lord of everything in existence, sought his help and refuge with him from the evils of our own souls and from our own wicked deeds, and said that whoever Allah guides, no one can misguide, and whoever Allah allows to be led astray, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah, who is one and has no partner, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and messenger. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, his family, his companions, and all those who follow their guidance until the day of resurrection. He then said that we left off in the part of the text by Shaykh Abdulaziz bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, which deals with what the person, while making salah, says and does after doing ruku'. After ruku', what the person says and does. The text of the treatise says that then the person is the eighth, number eight of the things that are mentioned that the person does in salah. He said that the person making the salah raises his head from ruku', raising his hands to the height of his shoulders or to the height of his ears, saying, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. Allah hears whoever praises him. And this goes for whoever is the imam, the one leading others in prayer, or for the munfarid, the one praying alone. And while in the process of standing, while after having stood, while he is standing, the person says, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ, O our Lord, and praise belongs to you, حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِي, a praise which is plentiful, good and blessed, مِنْ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمِنْ الْأَرْضِ, a praise which fills the heavens and the earth, وَمِنْ أَمَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدٍ, and fills whatever you wish after that. And so this is what the person making the salah is to say after raising up from ruku'. It's mutawatir that the Prophet ﷺ would raise his hands while rising up from ruku', that he would raise his hands, and this is mutawatir. There's so many narrations about this, there's no denying it, as reported by Al-Hafidh al-Suyuti rahimahullah in his book about the hadith which are mutawatir. The saying of سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ should come when the person is standing, after the process, after starting to rise from ruku', but before actually reaching the standing position. So this saying, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, should be said while raising, not before and not after. When the person reaches the standing position and he is standing upright, that's when he says, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ, after having already stood up. Once reaching the standing position, the people of knowledge have a difference of opinion on where the person making salah is to put his hands. After raising up from ruku', the scholars of Islam have a difference of opinion. Should the person making salah place his hands back on his chest, like he was doing while standing before going into ruku', or should he place his hands at his side? The ulama have a difference of opinion. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said that whoever places his hands back on his chest, then no problem. And whoever places his hands at his side, then no problem. Because this is one of the types of differing, which is known as khilaf tanawwur, that there's no contradiction involved in whether the person does either of these things. Then, after saying سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, which both the imam and the munfarid, the person leading others in prayer, and the person praying alone, not with others, say, and he said, by the way, that when it comes to the ma'mun, the one who is being led in prayer, the one who is praying in the jama'ah, and he is not leading the prayer, but someone else, he's praying behind the imam, he doesn't say سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. He doesn't say it. He just follows the imam and says رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ after having raised up from ruku'. And so he does not say سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, but simply says رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. And then there's an addition to this saying, Rabbana wa laka alhamd, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi, until the end. He said that there's an addition to this, which the person making salah can add to that, which is after saying, Rabbana wa laka alhamd, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi, mil as-samawati wal ard wa mil ma shi'ta min shay'in ba'd, he can add to that, ahla thana'i wal majd, that Allah is deserving of praise and glory, ahaqqa ma qala al-abd, the most deserving thing that a servant says, wa kulluna laka abd, and all of us are your servants. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt, O Allah, no one can withhold what you have given, wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at, and no one can give what you withhold. Wa la yunfa'u dhal jalli minka al-jadd, and those who have honor will not benefit, as from you comes all honor. It said that it's hasan, it's good if a person is to add this after having stood up from ruku', and it's because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is have narrated in authentic narrations, authentic ahadith, to have said this after having raised up from ruku'. And this goes for either the person who is the imam, the person who is praying alone, or the ma'mum, the person who is being led in prayer. He then said that when it comes to placing the hands on the chest after having raised up from ruku', this was the opinion of Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, the author of this treatise. His opinion was that this was the most correct opinion, that the most correct thing is to, after having raised up from ruku', to place the hands back on the chest. And other of the scholars of Islam, the people of knowledge, have said, no, he should not place his hands back on his chest, but rather place them by his sides. And again, this is from the khilaf, the difference of opinion, which is khilaf tanawwur, a difference of opinion which doesn't contradict one another. And so it's something that we're allowed to have a difference of opinion in, and it doesn't, they don't contradict, these statements don't clearly contradict one another. And Shaykh al-Rasaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala, said that the principle that comes here is that while standing in the salah, the original, the rule of origin is that the hands are to be placed on the chest. And so because we know that the hands are to be placed on the chest while standing before the ruku', likewise we should do so after the ruku', because this is the origin when it comes to the standing and where we place the hands while standing. And this is what he declared in his book, الشرح الممتع.
نعم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم. نبدأ؟
إيه تفضل.
نعم. قال الشيخ رحمه الله: ثم يسجد مكبرا واضعا ركبتيه قبل يديه إذا تيسر له ذلك، فإن شق عليه قدم يديه قبل ركبتيه. يقول الشيخ رحمة الله عليه: بعدما يرفع من الركوع ويقول الدعاء يخر ساجدا ولا يرفع يديه، لأن الروايات التي جاءت في رفع اليدين فيها خلاف، وكان ابن عمر ينكر رفع اليدين في السجود، لكن إذا رفع يديه أحيانا فلا حرج، لكن لا يتخذ غالبا، لأن غالب فعل النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كان لا يرفع يديه إذا خر ساجدا. وأثناء النزول يقول الله أكبر، أثناء النزول من الخطأ بعض المصلين إذا سجد قال الله أكبر إذا سجد، وهذا خطأ، بل إذا سجدت تقول دعاء السجود، إنما التكبير يكون بين الركبتين بين القيام والسجود، أثناء النزول تقول الله أكبر فتقدم ركبتيك ثم يديك ثم رأسك، إن تيسر لك ذلك. وهذا هو قول أكثر أهل العلم، ذكره الترمذي في جامعه، قال تقديم الركبتين قول أكثر العلماء. فإن لم يتيسر لك ذلك قدم يديك ثم ركبتيك ثم رأسك. وهذا أيضا أي رخوة خلاف تنوع، عرفت الآن، خلاف تنوع، فليس المسألة مسائل الخلاف التي يظل فيها الآخر، لا، هذه يسوق فيها الخلاف. لذلك قال الشيخ، قال فإن شق عليه قدم يديه قبل ركبتيه، وتكون أصابع اليدين وأصابع القدمين تجاه القبلة، أصابع اليدين مضمومة تجاه القبلة وأصابع القدمين تجاه القبلة. فقال الشيخ هنا قال مستقبل أصابع رجليه ويديه قبلة، قال ضاما أصابع يديه ما دلها تكون مضمومة وممدودة، ما تكون مقبوضة أثناء السجود، إذا سجدت فلا تقبض يديك بل تمد اليد موصوف الأصابع مضمومة الأصابع. قال ويكون على أعضائه السبعة، يعني إذا سجد يمكن أعضاء السبعة القدمين والركبتين واليدين والجسم على الأنف، القدمين هذا العضوان والركبتين أو الركبتان هذا العضوان واليدان هذان عضوان والجبهة مع الأنف هذا عضو واحد، فهذه سبعة. قال ويكون على أعضاء السبعة الجبهة مع الأنف، لابد أن تمكن جبهتك من الأرض كما جاء من حيث أبي هريرة عند الدارقطني لا صلاة لمن لم يمكن أنفه من الأرض. قال الجبهة مع الأنف واليدين والركبتين وبطون أصابع الرجلين، ويقول سبحان ربي الأعلى، يقول في سجوده سبحان ربي الأعلى، إن كان إماما أو منفردا يقول ثلاثا ويزيد الأفضل، وإن كان مأموما فإنه يكثر منها ما دام ساجدا الإمام، والأفضل له أيضا أن يدعو الله، يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أقرب ما يكون العبد من ربي هو ساجد، فاجتهدوا في الدعاء. قال ويقول سبحان ربي الأعلى، يكرر ذلك ثلاثا أو أكثر، الإجزاء كما قال الحنابلة مرة واحدة هذا المدة، لكن الأفضل ثلاثا وأن تزيد. قال ويستحب أن يقول مع ذلك سبحانك الله وبحمدك الله مغفر لي. قلنا في الركوع أن الأفضل في كل ركعة تأتي بذكر مستقبل، كذلك في السجود تأتي بكل سجدة بذكر مستقل. قال ويكثر من الدعاء، نعم اجتهد في الدعاء في سجودك يا عبد الله، لقوله عليه الصلاة والسلام فأما الركوع فعظم فيه الرب سبحان ربي العظيم تعظيم. قال وأما السجود فاجتهدوا في الدعاء، يعني ألحوا في دعائكم إذا كنتم سجدا. قال فقمن أن يستجاب لكم، أي جدير أن يستجاب لكم، وينبغي على العبد أن يتحرى المواضع التي هي مظنة قبول الدعاء كالسجود وبين الأذان والإقامة. نعم. فقال فيجتهد في الدعاء، يجتهد في الدعاء ويسأل الله عز وجل من خير الدنيا والآخرة. ثم قال الشيخ والدعاء يدعو في صلاة النفل وصلاة الفريضة، بمعنى أن الدعاء ليس خاصا في الفريضة دون النفل ولا النفل دون الفريضة، بل هو عام لكلا الصلاتين. ثم قال والجافي، يعني يباعد عضديه عن جنبيه، يعني لا يسبق يديه بجنبيه بل يباعد بينهما يفرج كالجناح كذا. قال وبطنه عن فخذيه، لا يلزق البطن على فخذين بل يرفع بطنه. قال وفخذيه عن ساقيه، يعني لا يلزق الساقين بالفخذين. قال ويرفع ذراعيه عن الأرض، لا يجعل الذراع مبسوطة على الأرض كما ينام الكلب، نحن نهينا عن التشبه بالحيوانات، إنما ترفع الذراع بقول عليه الصلاة والسلام اعتدلوا في السجود ولا يبسط أحدكم ذراعيه انبساط الكلب. نعم الآن ترجموا.
جزاكم الله خير. الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى continued saying that the ninth point mentioned by Allah رحمه الله, the ninth thing that the person making salah should do is to make sujood, to say Allahu Akbar, make the takbir, and then go into sujood. And while going down into sujood, he should place his knees on the ground before placing his hands, if that is easy for him to do. And if that is difficult for him, then he should place his hands before his knees. While doing so, he should have his fingers, his fingers and his toes also all should be facing the qibla. His fingers should be spread out, meaning that they should be extended out. And all of his seven limbs, all of his seven limbs should be touching the ground. And what is meant by the seven limbs are the forehead along with the nose, the two hands, the two knees, and the two feet. And so, when coming up from the rukur, the person says the du'a, which we mentioned, then he goes down into the sujood. And the scholars of Islam have a difference of opinion on whether or not the person should place his knees first when going into sujood on the ground, or whether he should place his hands on the ground first. There's a difference of opinion. And the majority of the narrations are that the Prophet ﷺ would not raise his hands while going down into sujood. Perhaps some narrations indicate that he would raise his hands after making the ruku' and before going down into sujood, but the majority of the narrations, Shaykh Allah says, indicate that he would not raise his hands before going down into sujood. And also he should say Allahu Akbar while going down into sujood, not while standing, and not while in already having reached and put his head on the ground, but while in the process of going down. This is a mistake that many people make while making their salat, that they will say Allahu Akbar after having already placed their head on the ground. The takbir should take place between the two pillars of the salat, namely the standing and the prostration. And so it should take place in the process of going down. He also said that the knees should be placed on the ground first, before the hands. And this was mentioned by Tirmidhi in his book Al-Jami'. And said that this is the opinion of the majority of the scholars. Again, At-Tirmidhi said that the opinion of the majority of the scholars is that the knees should be placed on the ground before the hands. And Shaykh Al-Mu'adh rahimahullah said that, again, this is not an obligation, it's sunnah, and so if a person is not able to do that, if he finds it difficult for him physically to place his knees on the ground first, then he should put his hands first. And again, this is one of those differences of opinion, which is khilaf al-tanawwu. It's one of those differences of opinion that it's something we're allowed to differ about, and they don't directly contradict one another. And so this is not one of those opinions that whoever differs with you, you should call him a person who has gone astray in or who is an innovator. It's one of the things that there's a difference of opinion about, and whoever differs with us in these matters is not a person who has gone astray and left the sin. Rather, this is a difference of opinion, which is permissible, and there's room for both within the sunnah. After having reached the ground and going into the position of sujood, the fingers should be outstretched, yet they should be together. They should be together. The fingers should be extended, but they should not be spread out such that there's big gaps between the fingers, but rather the fingers should be together and outstretched. The person should not clench his fingers as if making a fist, but rather spread, put his palm on the ground with the fingers extended out and together. Again, the person making sujood is to make sujood upon seven limbs, upon seven body parts, and those are namely the two feet, the two hands, the two knees, and the forehead along with the nose. supporting Adana Qutni, Abu Hurairah, would say that there is no salah for the person who does not put his nose on the ground. So while in the position of sujood, having all of these seven limbs on the ground, the person making salah is to say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, glorified be my Lord, the Most High. And he is to repeat this three times or more. Shaykh rahimahullah said in the text of the book, he is to say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, three times or more. And it is preferred, it's mustahab for him to say, along with that, Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik, Allahumma ghfirli. Glorified be you, Allah, O our Lord, and be praised are you, O my Lord, forgive me. And he should profusely make dua. The person, while in sujood, should make a lot of dua, because the Prophet ﷺ said, while making ruku', celebrate the praises of your Lord, and while making sujood, then exert yourselves in making dua, because it is likely that your dua is going to be answered during that position. So while in sujood, we are to make a lot of dua, exert ourselves in making as much dua as possible, because this is one of the places where the dua is more likely to be accepted. So we shouldn't be negligent about this, but rather exert ourselves in making dua during this place. We are to say this dhikr, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, three times. And it's better if we say it even more. And this goes for the person who is leading the prayer, the imam, or the person who is praying alone. As for the person who is being led in prayer, as long as his imam is in the position of sujood, he should say it as many times as he can. Say it as many times as he can. And likewise, it's preferable for the imam not to hurry up, but rather to say it, say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, a number of times, and as well as make dua. The scholars of the Hanbali school of fiqh say that when it comes to saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la in the position of sujood, that it is obligatory to say it at least once, and the least form of perfection, the least perfect form, is saying it three times, and that the person can increase, saying more, saying up to 10. And in addition, as we mentioned, the person can say the additional dua, which we previously mentioned. The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said that, O servant of Allah, you should work hard in making dua while in the position of sujood. You should work hard in seeking out those places when the dua is more likely to be accepted, such as sujood, such as between the adhan and the iqama, such as when rain falls. You should pick these times and exert yourselves in making dua at these times, because these are more likely for the dua to be accepted at these times. And making sujood is one of these times when the dua is more likely to be accepted. And this is not only for the five obligatory prayers, nor is it only for the voluntary prayers. It's for both. And so we shouldn't only seek out to make dua while making sujood in the five daily prayers, or only make it while doing our voluntary prayers, but in both of them. While making sujood, the person should make his arms far away from his body. He shouldn't be like hugging his arms to his body, but rather spread his arms out to the sides while in the position of sujood. And I left out part of the text, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, that the closest that the servant ever is to his Lord is while he is prostrating, so make lots of dua. This was related in Sahih Muslim. And he said that he should ask his Lord for the best for himself and for other than himself from amongst the Muslims. He should ask his Lord for the best of this life and the afterlife, regardless of whether it is an obligatory prayer or a voluntary prayer. And he should make his arms, his biceps, far away from his two sides, the two sides of his body. And he should make his stomach far away from his thighs. And he should make his thighs far away from his calves, spreading out his body, not crunching himself up. And he should raise his forearms up off the ground. And he should not have his forearms laying down on the ground, because the Prophet ﷺ said, be moderate while in the position of sujood, be upright and moderate, and do not let one of you be outstretched in with his forearms like the dog outstretches his arms. This hadith is muttafaq alayh. And so we have different hadith prohibiting us from imitating animals in the actions that we make during the salah. And so this is one of them, that the dog would outstretch its arms, and we're not supposed to do that. not have our forearms laying on the ground while in position of sujood, but rather have them up off of the ground. Probably Shaykh now.
Hey, now, Qala Shaykh Mbaad, rahmatullah alayh. Qala, ويرفع راسه مكبرا بعد السجود يرفع راسه أثناء الرفع يقول الله أكبر أثناء الرفع. قال ويفرش قدمه اليسرى ويجلس عليها، القدم اليسرى تكون مفروشة واليمنى تكون منصوبة، منصوب اليمنى ويجعل أصابعها في جهة القبلة، يجعل أصابعها إيش في جهة القبلة. قال ويمسك رجله اليمنى وثبت عنه عليه الصلاة والسلام قصة أخرى غير هذه، كان ينصب كلتا قدميه، ينصب اليمنى وينصب اليسرى ويجلس عليهما وهو سمى الإقعاء، رواه مسلم من حديث ابن عباس. قال ويضع يديه على فخذيه وركبتيه، يعني يضع اليدين على فخذيه أو ركبتيه ويقول رب اغفر لي وارحمني واهدني وارزقني وعافني واجبرني، الدعاء المعروف. قال ويطمئن في هذا الجلوس، يعني يكون يجلس إيش مطمئن حتى يعني يرجع كل عظم محله. قال ثم يسجد السجدة الثانية، يعني بعد ما يقول هذا الدعاء اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني يقول الله أكبر ويسجد السجدة الثانية مكبرا. قال الشيخ ويفعل كما فعل في السجدة الأولى، يعني يقول الدعاء ويجتهد يقول سبحان ربي الأعلى ويجتهد في الدعاء. قال ثم يرفع رأسه مكبرا، يعني إذا قام إلى الثانية، الآن انتهت السجدة الأولى كاملة. قال يرفع رأسه مكبرا ويجلس جلسة خفيفة، هذه جلسة الاستراحة، وجلسة الاستراحة يفعلها من كان محتاجا لها، من كان إيش محتاجا لها، لأن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فعلها في آخر حياته لما تقدم به السن، فمن كان محتاجا لها فإنه يجلسها. لكن هنا مسألة أي أخوة، إذا كان الإمام لا يجلس الاستراحة يقوم مباشرة، فعليك أن تتابع الإمام ولا تجلس الاستراحة. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما جعل الإمام ليتم به فلا تختلفوا عليه. قال الشيخ محمد بن عثيمين في شرح مسلم إذا لم يجلس الإمام للاستراحة فلا تجلس، لأن متابعة الإمام واجبة وجلسة الاستراحة مستحبة، فلا يقدم مستحب على واجب، بل يقدم الواجب على إيش على المستحب. انتهى كلامه رحمة الله عليه. قال وتسمى جلسة الاستراحة، قال وهي مستحبة، هذا حكمها مستحبة ليست واجبة. قال وإن تركها فلا حرج عليه، يعني إذا لم يجلس الاستراحة فلا بأس. قال وليس فيها ذكر ولا دعاء، يعني لم يأتي فيها ذكر ولا دعاء، بل تجلس قليلا ثم تقوم. قال ثم ينهض قائما إلى الركعة الثانية معتمدا على ركعتين، انت يسر ذلك، يعني إذا قام إلى الركعة الثانية يقوم على ركبتين، إنسان خفيفا أو شابا صغيرا، لكن الثقيل أو الشيخ الكبير قد يشق عليه على ذلك، يقدم يديه يعتمد على يديه في القيام، يجعل يديه على الأرض ثم يقوم. والأفضل إذا اعتمد على يديه أن يضم يديه كما جاء ذلك عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عليه، قال وإن شق عليه اعتمد على الأرض، يعني ضم يديه ثم اعتدل الأرض، ثم يقرأ الفاتحة الركعة الثانية وما تيسر له من القرآن بعد الفاتحة. لكن أيها الأخوة، يقرأ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مباشرة ولا يستعيد، لأن الاستعادة فقط في الركعة الأولى، وهذا هو الصحيح واختيار الشيخ الحيدان حفظه الله. سألته قال يستعيد فقط في الركعة الأولى، لكن إن استعاد في الركعة فلا حرج في ذلك. قال ثم يفعل كما فعل في الركعة الأولى. نقف هنا على الله أعلم، صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد، وأتم الآن عليكم الترجمة.
شيخ حضر الله تعالى في الكيمين تقول في كنت تقول في person making صلاة بس is raise his hand, raise his head saying الله أكبر. This is it from the sujood saying Allahu Akbar. And he is to, after going to sujood, to sit down. So he goes into sujood, raises his head saying Allahu Akbar, and then sits. And he is to sit with his left foot spread out, such that he is sitting upon his left foot, and his right foot should be propped up, such that the toes are facing the qibla. And he is to say, while in this position, while sitting, after making the sujood, he is to say, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, my Lord, forgive me. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, my Lord, forgive me. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, my Lord, forgive me. And then say, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي, O Allah, forgive me. وَحَمْنِي, have mercy on me. وَهْدِنِي, and guide me. وَرْزُقْنِي, and provide for me. وَعَفْنِي, and grant me well-being. وَجْبُرْنِي, and make up for my shortcomings. And he is to sit in a tranquil position while sitting, not be in a rush, but rather sit and stay in that position until every one of his bones takes its place, such that it's not just a movement that he continues making, but rather he stops. He stops in that position and waits upright in that position. Because the Prophet ﷺ did the same that he would do after making ruku', after raising up from the ruku'. You would not immediately move down, but stand, wait in that position while standing after the ruku'. And this goes, the same goes for this position, sitting after making the sujood. This is the next sujood, and then to sit and wait in that position between the two sujoods. So before going back down into the second sujood, the person should sit and wait in that position. This is the tenth thing that the person does while making the prayer. The Shaykh said that what's described here in the sitting position is that the left foot should be placed on the ground, spread out, such that the buttocks are sitting upon it, and that the right foot is propped up with the toes facing the qibla. And there is also a second description which is mentioned, that the which is narrated that the Prophet ﷺ, he would sit in a different fashion, and it's related in Sahih Muslim from the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And this other type of sitting is called al-iqa'a. And what is meant by this is propping up both feet, sitting on both feet, such that instead of spreading out the left foot, both feet are propped up, such that all 10 toes are facing the qibla. And instead of sitting upon one foot, the person will be sitting on both of their heels. The 11th thing that the person does while making the salat is going into the second sujood. So after going into sujood the first time and sitting up, the person goes back down again into the second sujood saying, Allahu Akbar, I'm going down. As the same, and he should do it the same way, applying to the same description that he made the first sujood and saying the same dhikr while in the sujood, he would say just like he did in the first sujood. The 12th thing mentioned is that he raises his head up from the second sujood saying, Allahu Akbar. And he should sit lightly and sit briefly before standing back up. So before standing back up after the second sujood, he should sit briefly in the same manner that he sat between the two sujood. And this sitting is called jamsat al-istiraha, the resting sitting position. And it is mustahab. It is preferred to sit in this fashion before standing up. Before standing up for the second rak'ah, according to the most correct opinion of the scholars. And if a person leaves this alone and does not sit after making the second sujood and before standing up, then there is no problem. Salah is fine. And there is no dhikr or dua made in this sitting. After sitting briefly in this position, the person is to stand up to the second raka'ah, leaning on his two knees if he can, and not using his hands. But if that's difficult for him to stand up only on his knees, then he can use his hands as well. Then the person recites Surah Al-Fatiha again in the second raka'ah. And if it's easy for him, he additionally recites some other verses or another surah after Surah Al-Fatiha in the second raka'ah, just as the description meets in the first raka'ah. And Shaykh Bada Hadrullah Ta'ala said that what's mentioned about the person using their hands to stand up after Jalsat al-Istiraha and standing up for the second raka'ah, that's if a person needs to. If a person can just stand straight up without placing their hands on the ground, they can just stand up, go into the second sajda, then sit briefly and stand straight up without touching the ground, then they can do this, as most young men can do. But if a person is old or a person is weak or their body just can't do it, then there's no problem. Then they would use their hands to prop themselves up and get up. He said, however, that we do have the obligation of following the imam. So if a person is praying behind an imam who does not make the jalsa al-istiraha before standing up for the second raka'ah, then we are not to do so, because we are to follow the imam. As the Prophet ﷺ said, the imam has only been made to be followed, so do not differ with him. Shaykh al-Musa'in, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his explanation of Sahih Muslim, said that if the imam does not sit for Jalsa al-Istiraha, then likewise we are not to sit, because following the imam is obligatory, and sitting for the Jalsa al-Istiraha is preferred. So we do not give preference. Do not give preference to something that is preferred over something that is obligatory. After we stand up for the second raka'ah, we say, as we said in the first raka'ah, and again, when standing up, if a person can stand straight up without using their hands, we should do that. But if they need to, as the majority of the narrations of the Prophet ﷺ, standing up, using his hands, were reported towards the end of his life, when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was elderly in age and needed more support. And so we understand from that that if a person needs to, because they're physically weak, then they use their hands, but if not, they stand straight up. And if a person needs to use their hands to stand up, the way that they should place their hands on the ground when standing up is in a fist. So place a fist on the ground in order to stand up. As was narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala. When standing up for the second raka'ah, the person is to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim again before reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. However, you should not say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan ar-Rajim a second time. Saying the isti'ada or saying A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan ar-Rajim is only during the very first raka'ah of the Salah. And every additional raka'ah after that, he is not to say the isti'adha, he is not to say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan ar-Rajim before reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. And this was the opinion of Shaykh Salah al-Luhaydan, Hafizahullah ta'ala. Shaykh Bada Hafizullah said that I asked him about this, and he said that the saying the isti'adha is only for the first raka'ah. And here as well, we will stop for today's class, and Allah knows best. Allahumma salli wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad.